Please remain standing and turn in your Bibles, please, to Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11. We'll read verses 25 to 30. Matthew 11, beginning with verse 25. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. And may God add his richest blessing to the reading of this portion of his holy word. Will you pray with me, please? Again, our Father, we thank you for your word, and we pray that you would come and speak to us now by your Holy Spirit, that we would hear the voice of our good shepherd, our Lord Jesus Christ, and hearing his voice, that he would know us, and we would know him, and follow him, and offer our hearts to him promptly and sincerely, in spite of the inability and sin of the preacher. In Jesus' name, amen. Be seated, please. What are you learning in school? My granddaddy would ask me that nearly every day when he picked me up. How was school today? Or what did you learn in school today? I don't remember ever giving him an answer to that question. Now I do the asking and no one answers me. But today we all need to think about the question, what am I learning in school? The school of Jesus Christ, that is. Now we know from the scripture that to be a Christian is to be a disciple. Jesus gave his apostles the Great Commission to go into all the world and make disciples from all the nations. That's the purpose of the church. The purpose of this local church. To make disciples. But what is a disciple? A disciple is, in a word, a student. The word disciple in the original New Testament is mathete. The verb form of disciple is found in the Great Commission, Matthew 28, 19, when Jesus said, go make disciples, mathetuiste, make disciples. And the word translated in the passage before us this morning in verse 29 as learn is from that same word, mathete. In this passage, Jesus gives an invitation to come to him. This is the offer of salvation, the free offer of the gospel. It's the invitation to become a disciple of Jesus. And he says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest to your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Learn of me. the German preacher who was hanged by the Nazis at the Flossburg concentration camp in April of 1945, Dietrich Bonhoeffer famously wrote that when Christ calls a man, he bids him come and die. Today, I want us to focus on a different angle of discipleship. When Christ calls a man, he bids him come and learn. Learn of me. Now, we're going to begin a short series on discipleship. Now, I don't know how long, but when I say short, I mean it won't last a year. Which a year for me is a short series, you know. That's the only commitment I'll make at this time. Preaching on topics is not my strength. I like to preach through books of the Bible. I'm not doing this because I particularly want to, but because I've come to the conviction that it is necessary. The very purpose of the church is discipleship. Jesus put us here to make disciples. That means we must be disciples ourselves. Now, this does not mean that Christianity is limited simply to acquiring information. We must put into practice, into action, the information. It's not just learning facts, it's learning how to live. Now, this church is in a season where we need to do some self-evaluation. If you read the newsletter this month, you know that our first step moving forward after Jonathan's departure is to evaluate our position as a church, our strengths, weaknesses, needs, so forth. But if churches have a universal weakness, we have it, in ARP church, the Baptists have it too, Methodists, every other type of Presbyterian. Our weakness is to appoint a committee to deal with something so the rest of us don't have to think about it. We got to have committees, I understand that, but the people on the committee should not be the only people in the church who care. Our session, our committee will be evaluating where we are as a church. But the scripture also says, let a man examine himself. Not just appoint some committee to examine somebody. Let a man examine himself. Each and every one of us has an individual duty to examine, evaluate ourselves. So we'll begin this series with the individual call that comes to each individual one of us. The call to come to Jesus Christ and learn of Him. A disciple is a student, a learner. So what are you learning in school? The school of Christ. Let's look at it. First in this passage, we see the admissions requirement. The admissions requirement into the school of Christ. Look at verse 25. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. Now, let me just say, before we get going to the first point, I'm going to take a quick aside and say, I see a bunch of bulletins fanning this morning, and I just want to let everybody know that we're not all cold-natured in ARP Church. We checked it. There must be some little equipment problem. We'll try to have it straightened out next week, and I apologize for the heat. I'm cold-natured, and I'm sweating in my coat this morning. But anyway, in the context of this passage, Jesus has been rejected. If you look back at verse 20, it says, he began to rebuke the cities in which most of his mighty works had been done because they did not repent. They didn't repent. They didn't follow Jesus. Then after he rebuked them for his unbelief, he thanked his Father. He did not complain. He was thankful. I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes. The gospel of Jesus Christ is hidden from some people. It was hidden from those who heard Jesus, saw his miracles, and refused to repent. The gospel is hidden this day, to this day, from those who refuse to repent and believe in him. Why? Verse 25, Jesus says these things are hidden from the wise and prudent. Now, wait a minute. Aren't wisdom and prudence good things commended in Scripture? Jesus is here speaking of the person who fancies himself wise and prudent. He thinks he has nothing left to learn. The gospel, Jesus says, is hidden from such a man. Now, there's another side to it. We don't need to turn, it's just a couple verses, but in 2 Corinthians 4, verses 3 and 4, the Apostle Paul said, even if our gospel is veiled or hidden, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age, little g God, that's the devil, has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. If the gospel is hidden, it's because the devil has blinded their eyes, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Jesus Christ should shine on them. How does the devil blind people to the glory of Christ? He convinces them that they don't need him. They're good enough already. They're wise, prudent people in their own eyes. Bishop Ryle said, nothing is so likely to keep a man out of heaven and prevent him seeing Christ as pride. So long as we think we are something, we shall never be saved. So long as we think we are something, we think we are somebody, we cannot be saved. Now, I will certainly hope there's not a person on the roll of this church who would say, I don't need Jesus. The first question you have to answer to join the ARP Church is, do you confess that you are a sinner and need a Savior? But the call is to learn of Jesus for all of us who would never make such a blasphemous statement as, I don't need Jesus. But if we don't read the Bible, study it, how strong really is our sense of need? Our need to learn of Jesus Christ. We have a strong Christian education ministry in this church. We have dedicated Sunday school teachers. We have dedicated volunteers who prepare lessons and activities for children on Sunday evenings. We're trying to make disciples who are learning of Christ. You taking advantage of the opportunities? Now, no one's complaining, I know of. I'm not complaining. But if I could be honest and transparent as a preacher, the greatest discouragement is to work to prepare a message and hardly anyone show up to hear it. Although the faithful few that always do are your greatest encouragement. The teachers in this church, school teachers, can tell you that it's discouraging to prepare lessons and students who are there because they're required by law to be there. Don't pay attention. Don't care. Don't give any effort to master the material that's being taught. And the plain fact is that it's discouraging to volunteer to prepare a lesson. Spend time during the week preparing a lesson and have only one or two children brought to class. But more than the discouragement of volunteers, it raises a question about how high a priority is actually being a disciple, a student of Jesus Christ. How high a priority is it really to us? Every school has some criteria for admissions. Now, when I was in high school, I think I was junior in high school, thinking about applying to colleges. I remember a friend of mine applied to a particular school, and a friend of his that had graduated a couple years ahead of us went to that school, and he worked in the admissions department. And when he saw that this fellow had applied, and he got a hold of some letterhead there in the office and wrote, "No chance" on it, and sent it to him. And I think the official letter he got was more tactfully worded, but said the same thing. The school of Christ has an admissions requirement. It's not to have amassed high achievements or high GPA like a competitive university. The admission requirement in the school of Christ is to be utterly devoid of all accomplishments. Nothing in my hands I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. It's not the wise and prudent to whom the gospel is revealed. Jesus says in verse 25, it's babies. In other words, people who are needy, dependent, can make no contribution to their own salvation. The saddest thing about not learning in the school of Christ, not having interest in studying the Word, making the most of opportunities, is it reveals a certain arrogance. I don't need to learn anything about God. I'm good as is. There's an old hymn that explains the admissions requirement for the school of Christ as well as anything. It says, all the fitness he requireth is to feel your need of him. A person who's willing to enter the school of Christ and learn is a person who knows his or her need of Jesus. And that's the one and only admissions requirement, to feel your need of him. So we see the admission requirement, and secondly and finally, we see matriculation into his school. Look at verse 28. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, Lord willing, we'll revisit this passage next week. But for now, once accepted to a school, once you've made application and you've been accepted, before you begin your studies, you must matriculate, actually enter into the school. And here, Jesus tells us the matriculation process to learn in his school. And there are two aspects of it. First, Jesus says in verse 28, come to me. The person of Jesus Christ. We must come directly to Jesus. We must receive him. We don't take something from him, some grace, some forgiveness, some improvement, take it from him and then move on. We must receive him, all of him. Calvin said, we must first understand that as long as Christ remains outside of us and we are separate from him, all that he has suffered and done for the salvation of the human race remains useless and of no value for us. As long as we are separate from Jesus Christ, everything he has done will do us no good. Have you entered into a personal union with Jesus Christ by faith? To receive him is to receive all his benefits. His death for our sins, his resurrection, all the blessings that flow to us from who he is and what he's done. Jesus says, come to me. To be saved is to receive Jesus Christ himself by faith. In the second aspect of entering into his school, Jesus says, in verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Take my yoke. The yoke controls a beast of burden, hitches it to a wagon. To take the yoke of Jesus Christ is to submit to his absolute authority and control. That is his lordship. A yoke makes an ox useful for service. It may sound a bit harsh to use the language of oxen and a yoke. But Jesus assures us in verse 30 that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. Again, Bishop Ryle says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. No doubt there is a cross to be carried if we follow Christ. No doubt there are trials to be endured and battles to be fought. But the comforts of the gospel far outweigh the cross. Compared to the service of the world and sin, compared to the yoke of Jewish ceremonies and the bondage of human superstition, Christ's service is in the highest sense easy and light. His yoke is no more a burden than feathers are to a bird. His commandments are not grievous. His ways are ways of pleasantness. And all his paths are peace. Peace. So, what are you learning in school? Anything? Do you want to learn? Maybe it's time to apply all the fitness he requires is to feel your need of him. Come to me. Come to me. All you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.